12 is the best and 12 is the worst. It's the breathless swoop at the top of the Ferris wheel, dangling and wishing you could stay. It's the moment when the wheel's about to drop and you're scared, but it's thrilling too. Because 12 is when you clutch for everything to stay the same. But it's also when you're tipped forward, ready for something new. In the spring of sixth grade, our last year in elementary school, Francesca and Josie and me like to lean against the schoolyard fence and stare at the kids in front of the junior high across the street. Girls with long straight hair that swings at their butts. That's going to be us. But how will I ever get from here to there? I still play with Josie's dollhouse. I'm afraid of the dark. I sort of giggle about boys, but I really wish they'd leave us alone. When I think about 13 and having a chest that shows beneath my shirt, my stomach hurts. I wish I could stay right here, fingers on the diamonds of twisted metal, looking out. Almost 12 is when I learn about our new school, when everything changes in Queens and in New York City. One day I come home with a mimeographed flyer.
"What's this?"
my mother starts reading. Her light brown hair is drawn back into a ponytail. Daddy always says that Mom still looks like the 20-year-old he met studying at a coffee shop near Columbia University.
"It's called a pairing."
"What's that mean?"
"The seventh graders will go to another school, a new one, in South Jamaica."
"Why on earth? Our junior high is just a few blocks away."
"Integration."
Mom looks at Daddy standing in the door. He nods.
"Integration."
"Integration. That's a good thing." One of those banner words that snaps brightly over our heads. Last year, we did a dance about Martin Luther King Jr. in the gymnasium. All the girls in maroon danskins. We listened to the "I Have a Dream" speech crackling on speakers.
"My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin."
Integration is what our family does in quiet and private ways. Mom grew up on Long Island, the daughter of a policeman. She met Daddy when she was studying social work, and he was an engineering student living in Harlem. When her brother, Joe, heard she was dating a man from Barbados, he showed up at her apartment, tapping a crowbar against his palm. Daddy gently invited him to eat keema that he'd cooked for Mom. Uncle Joe laughs now, says that he had to like a guy who cooked for his sister. Still, no one in the family came when they got married at City Hall. Two nights after getting the flyer, Daddy and Mom go to the school meeting, Mom with her cardigan draped over her shoulders and a pleated skirt. Daddy in his usual suit and tie. My parents always get dressed up. One of Mom's many rules for me and my brother Kareem: you have to give a certain kind of impression because they're not used to families like us. Meaning a tall black man with a hint of East Indian in his face and his pale, thin wife. I'm finishing my homework when they come back, arguing softly in the living room about the new plan. "It's not that bad," my mother says. "Penny, I didn't work so hard to get myself out of a village school for my daughter to go to school in a poor neighborhood. That's going backward."
"It's all new teachers," Mom says. "A new building."
"But why now?" "Our schools are as segregated as ever." He sighs.
"I know. But have you ever driven by those streets? The boarded up windows?" He shakes his head. "My child is not an experiment."
"If those words came out of our neighbors, you'd be upset."
"There's a difference."
"Is there?" He doesn't answer.